Welcome to the Boyfriends Podcast, where we help you find your circle
and your man.
I'm Jared D. King. I'm here with Greg and Noelle, and we have a very special guest with us today. I'm so excited to have Lamont White. Hello, sir. How are you?
I am doing awesome. Hope you guys are doing okay up there in Philly as well.
Yes, yes, yes. It's rainy.
It's wet.
But, you know, we're making it work. So, Lamont, why don't you introduce yourself for some of the audience members who don't know you?
Sure. So I tell people I'm the little short guy. My name is Lamont White, a.k.a. the gay dating coach, because I help single guys find love and actually stay in relationships. I do that through a matchmaking company that I have called Better Way to Meet, which has been around for about 10 years, and I've been sending guys on dates and helping them get married.
That's amazing.
I love that. So typically, what does the process look like for you for somebody who's going to be like a client?
So I screen everyone. So I do a face-to-face meeting, whether it's in person or Zoom, which is, you know, the new technology, the way that we meet, just to make sure the person is the person in the pictures that they send, because even nowadays people catfish. So I need to make sure you are that person, get a feel for your vibe. And we go over a list of your preferences, like what you're looking for in a potential partner. And then also we do dating coaching sessions because we all have bad habits. We all have some red flags that we have to work on. Mm-hmm. And I send them on dates. I send them on dates after all of that.
Okay. I mean, I feel like we could all be better daters. And I feel like that is the purpose of today's episode. We all have questions from the viewers, and we wanted to get like a dating expert to kind of talk about that. We give advice all the time, but this is like getting advice from your homies.
Yeah.
We want advice from somebody who actually knows what they're talking about. Yeah.
I am your man. Okay. I have done the research. I'm certified. Yes, I have the experience.
Okay. So. All right. Did you have something to say, Greg?
Well, before we dive into some of the specifics, I want to like back it up a little bit. How does one become a dating expert? What brought you to here?
Yeah, so I have a weird background in public health and as a therapist. So I have an undergrad degree in psychology and a master's in professional community counseling. Wow. And so I've been doing counseling for a long time with gay men, particularly couples. And I'm like, you know what, Greg? These guys don't know how to date. Like, they're just doing it all wrong. So I went back and got a certification at a matchmaking institute to really understand the science, the business around matchmaking and dating coaching. Of course, a lot of the material was catered towards heterosexuals. So I had to augment it and look at the differences that same gender loving men, gay men, bisexual men, how our relationships actually work, which totally different from the streets.
Yeah, totally different.
That is so cool. That's inspiring to me.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and we also can't start without mentioning, you know, you've been on Bravo. You do Shoot Your Shot Wednesdays, which is like the thing to, I feel like it's one of the things to watch on Instagram. It's always, the audience is so shady.
messy boots. But, they even come for me some Wednesdays. I'm like.
So why don't we get started? Why don't we jump into some of these questions? I'll start off. I'll ask a question and then we'll kind of like bounce from person to person. So Dan asks, is speed dating still a thing and how effective is it?
Yes, speed dating is a thing. Is it effective? I think it gets your appetite wet, as they say, right? Like, you really don't get a chance to actually get to know the person during speed dating. What you get to know is their elevator speech. Like, on the surface, do you think they're handsome?
Yeah.
What type of work they do, where they're from? It's just like a tip, just a tip. And I think it will get you a first date. I don't know if it'll get you a long-lasting relationship.
Got you. Okay. Because it's just, it's very surface at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been to speed dating before. I enjoy it. I feel like it helps more for, like, I guess just being a little bit more social. Like, it helps you kind of, like, you know, if there's an attractive guy, you kind of have to talk to them at that moment. And then you see, oh, they're just another person, you know? Would you say is that kind of...
I think what it does is it helps you to practice that dating muscle that sometimes single people feel like they don't have to practice at it. And
it's like foreplay.
Speed dating gives you an opportunity to like flirt with somebody, ask some questions, highlight yourself, right?
Yeah.
I think it could be good for that.
Yeah. My first question I want to ask, and this is before we even get to the date. So I've been, I mean, I definitely get like, we've talked about dating fatigue in the past. I've had it where I've been on the apps and it just kind of goes nowhere. I've recently redownloaded the apps. And one of the things that I find is like, whether it's in person or digitally, sometimes people just don't communicate well or at all. So often when I find a match or somebody that I like, I will, my like MO is to initiate the message because I feel like no one else ever does. And then I will like to find something in their profile that I relate to or find interesting. I'll kind of comment on that, and then I usually end with a question, in theory prompting them to return the reply. Mm-hmm. I would say at least 80-85% of the time I'm getting no response. Yeah. So I'm curious, and again, I know you said people have flaws and bad habits. I'm not going to say that I don't, but in this instance I feel like when it comes to digitally, I do make genuine efforts to try to A, initiate the conversation, but actually make conversation. What, if anything, could I be doing differently if I'm not getting replies?
Well, Greg, I will say you have been taking my class on actually sending messages to the guys that you like, complimenting them about some type of content that they have on their page, and then ask them a question. I think you're doing that absolutely perfect. The thing about the dating apps, if the guy doesn't respond, there's something about you, your picture, your profile, whatever it is, that he says you're just not compatible. That is A-okay. You'd rather the guy not respond than be your pen pal for the next 6 months, mm-hmm. right?
True.
It is okay. So there have been some studies that show that like after the 7th, 8th, 10th profile that you look at, you get fatigued and you're just like, oh, let me just put this thing to the side.
Yeah.
It's fine. You have to do that. After your 10th profile, literally put the phone down, go get something to eat or drink, and then come back and start again. It's all a numbers game of finding the guy who's a good fit for you. Mm-hmm. I also wonder what your profile looks like. Like, what pictures do you have? What are you saying you're looking for? Is the description filled out all the way?
I'd be happy to share, because I think, because I see profiles, it's like subject and then just like one word. Like, I feel like I have every category filled out to as many characters as it'll let me. Maybe I'm giving too much content for people. But I say I'm looking for thoughtful and detailed profiles, so I make sure that I have that myself.
Yeah.
If it's a dissertation, that could be overwhelming, and then people will just move to the next. So I do feel like dating profiles should be condensed. It really should say what you're looking for in a few statements that describe who you are, and it's okay to put your first name and not like a handle, because no one wants to date a handle.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we can take a look offline and you guys can let me know what you think.
I mean, honestly, I feel like you and I have a very similar way of online dating. Like, you know, my profile is pretty much all filled out. I have been very selective in the types of photos that I've been putting up. Like, I have one sexy photo. I don't have any friends on my, I don't want to be the ugly friend. So I
exactly. You don't want to be that one. You know?
So yeah. So it's just, it's all me. But it's like, I feel like, you know, I've done the same thing where it's like, I will comment on something that they have in their profile. I'll leave a question, and then it's like, okay, I'm not really getting anything back. But I mean, I guess that's just what, you know, that's kind of like dating apps in general.
Yeah.
I do feel like you have to fill everything out, like your age, your race, your sexual position, like, because people are like, oh, that's too much information. It's a dating app. You're looking for compatibility and you don't want two bottoms wasting your time trying to go back and forth at each other just to find out that you're not sexually compatible.
Yeah. That's one thing I don't have in my profile.
That's a question I want to ask you that a friend of mine is asking me to ask him.
Yeah.
Is sex a deal breaker on the first date? Should you know how compatible you are with that person from the get-go?
So it really depends on what your relationship is with sex. So some people reserve sexual encounters for marriage, engagement, like when we're in love. Other people reserve sex where it's just like, hey, it's kind of casual. Like, it's more free flowing. It all depends on your relationship with sex. And so if sex on a first date is okay, have at it. But if you're like, no, I really want to make sure we get tested, or we say I love you before we have sex, I would say stick to your guns. It's okay to have those standards.
Yeah. I felt that way with Carlos. Like, we didn't do it the first time we met.
No.
And he wanted me to stay the night. I was like, no.
Like, I gotta go. I can't do this.
I made an excuse. Like, I didn't have any contact solution. I went home.
But I will tell you this. Some guys get kind of offended if a guy flirts with them or even insinuates that he wants to have sex. I think that's a good sign. Like, if a guy desires to have sex with you,
yeah,
that's what you want. You don't want a coworker or a colleague, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you want to be desired.
Exactly.
You want to be desired. You can moderate that. Now, if there's a problem is if he does not want to have sex with you.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Going back to, like, the dating app thing, like, I have a question from Josh who's asking, like, are dating apps possibly hurting those who are looking for dates instead of making it easier?
No, I think dating apps are beautiful, and people are like probably throwing tomatoes at me because I'm saying I think dating apps are beautiful. One, I think some people use dating apps to meet friends, find out like what's happening in the local area. I think people use dating apps appropriately to actually go on dates. And these are the people who put their face pictures out there and not just like a torso or a blank profile. There are actually people who go on dates and even get married from using dating apps because they are intentional. They're asking questions. They're saying, hey, here's my telephone number. Let's FaceTime. Mm-hmm. Let's go on a real date that's outside of the house and not just a hookup.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you suggest one dating app over the other? Like, would we be more successful on like Grindr or Jacked or a Hinge and a Tinder? Like,
right. So it really depends on your city. Like, if some cities Grindr is the thing to use, other cities it's Archer, other cities it might be Jacked. Hmm. Depending on what ethnicity you are, you need to pick which app works best for you. So I think it is okay to be on two or three apps.
Okay.
And all of your profiles should be very similar.
Got you. Okay. So yeah, because I think my problem, if I'm just probably going to share too much right now, but like Grindr would be like my hookup app and Hinge would be like my dating app. And I'm like, if anybody saw both...
Garrett, people see you on all of it and they say, oh, this is the guy who tried to hook up with me and now he's over here trying to date, right? Just make it all the same. Just make it the same.
Can you just stick to one?
Well,
I would say no, do at least two or three dating apps because there are some people who may not be on your particular dating app and you're going to miss him.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. I'm kind of similar and you're Lamont suggesting maybe not so much, but I've gotten like frustrated, like I said, on the apps, and I honestly don't use them a lot because they're just, I prefer in person, which I think most of us do, but I've definitely been on those dating apps where I just like get frustrated. I'm like, well, why are people on here if they don't want to like communicate?
Yeah.
And I kind of have to remind myself that I'm using this app a certain way. It doesn't mean everybody else is using the app the same way.
Yeah.
Cause that's how I'm like, and contrastly, if I'm on Grindr and someone's like, oh, let's go on dates, I'm like, you know what this app is for. But I'm like, well, that's fair. Maybe I'm using this app for sex and fun and then this app for, you know what I mean? That's the way I approach it, but it doesn't mean everyone else does.
It's interesting because I feel like, you know, we've always got that, I guess dichotomy would be the word, or just like the different kind of lives that we live. We want to find love, but we also want to hook up and have sex. And it's just like, sometimes you got to pick a lane. Do you feel... Lamont.
No, I don't think you have to pick a lane. It just depends on how you're feeling, which is why I say it is, and you'd probably disagree with me. You disagree, I know. It's okay to be authentic of who you are. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be like, hey, I'm in a mood to hook up today.
Gotcha.
Or, you know, this month I'm trying to go on dates. The thing about it is when you try to pretend with different accounts, people talk about you behind your back. They remember the messages that you sent on your other account. So why not just be transparent? Like, hey, I'm just in the mode of being single, a hot boy summer. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I'm definitely trying to date right now. Which is why I do push people to not only limit themselves to dating apps, but using Instagram, Facebook, other forms of social media where you can join Facebook dating groups, and you can meet guys, You can send people messages on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to limit yourself to the apps.
Lamont, I have a question. What advice can you give to someone that is tired of like any of the platforms? Is it possible to do that without using a service or a dating site or whatever?
Absolutely. So that requires more time and more effort. That means like you literally have to take a shower, put a cute outfit on, go out to the park, go out to a restaurant, sit at a bar, go to a dancing class, go to a rock climbing class. Mm-hmm. You have to say hello. Oh, you smell nice. How you doing?
What drink is that you having?
Go to Kelly Drive. Exactly. Go to Kelly Drive. Go for a little run. Yeah. Say hello to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Effort, right?
Yeah. Effort. Yeah. So piggybacking off of that, because now if we're moving into a realm of kind of like dating outside of the apps, or kind of trying to meet people outside of the apps, like how do you flirt with somebody if you're not necessarily in a gay space, but you know, you think somebody's interesting and you kind of want to see what's going on? Like, how do you kind of make that happen?
It's extremely hard to do that as gay men, as bisexual men, as queer men, because you never know if the guy is heterosexual or not, right? Yeah. So I always say, let's play it safe, right? So if you see a guy, you think he's handsome, you might want to say, hey, I love that blazer you have on. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty fly. I didn't mean to say fly.
you got some riz.
Is that one of your lines?
I'm like, yo, I like that jacket, man. Yeah. Like, where'd you get it from, right? And you are sparking up conversation. It is the art of small talk.
Yeah.
You can go buy books that teach you how to do small talk. And if you spark up a conversation with the stranger, you want to make sure that you look him in his eyes. You want to make sure you smile. And I will tell you, if he is interested, he's going to keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
If he is straight, married, not interested, he's going to be like, oh, I bought this at Zara. Thanks.
I remember I was at a supermarket one time and I couldn't reach. And I was like, excuse me.
You, tall man.
In distress, yeah.
I absolutely did. I absolutely
crab
did.
That and he was crab cute. Mac and cheese off this.
I think he thought it was very, I don't know. I think it was like very humorous to him.
That's so cute though.
But
you're telling me all
didn't
these.
He didn't take it wrong or anything, but you know, I just, it was a.
You, strapping man.
So these little old ladies at the grocery store are actually flirting with me?
Hot. Yeah.
Aww.
I get old ladies all the time. Like, use little young strapping man. I have a question for you as far as like getting into like actual relationships that they're already in. What if at a certain point in time, my friend Gato Loco on Instagram wants to know like if someone is in a relationship and they know it's not going to work out, but the other person doesn't want to let go.
So dating, actually saying, hey, we're exclusive. People change, right? They may evolve and have different desires or whatever it is. It is okay for you to leave a relationship when your needs are no longer being met, right? So if you're someone who's like, I need physical touch, and this person is like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be traveling the world for the next 6 months. You're like, well, I'm not going to be able to feel you, touch you. You might want to say, we can take a break. And yeah. I think some people stay in situations because they're bored, because they're lonely, because they're afraid to get back out into the dating scene. So they will stay in something when they know it's not healthy. You're only going to hurt yourself and the other person if you stay in a situation like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
All right. I wasn't trying to be bitchy. I was just trying to move the conversation along.
No.
Sorry. Noelle and I have a history of
miscommunication.
Yeah, I was going to say bitchiness, but no, miscommunications. That's a nice way of
putting it. Sure. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on somebody inviting you out to like coffee or drinks versus like a proper date?
I think coffee dates are cute. You know, like it gives a little speed dating vibe. Let me get a feel for who you are. Mm-hmm. I don't like those. I don't like those because they are performative. Mm-hmm. They're also like a job interview as well. And there's no fun. There's no romance. it's hard to build chemistry.
Yeah.
People all the time, they're like, I want to feel like warm and fuzzy in my stomach when I go on a date with this guy, or warm and hot somewhere else, right? and it's hard. It's really challenging to do that over coffee. So I say, let's go for a walk in the park. Let's go bowling. You can find inexpensive, fun things to do so that you have excuses to see each other's body language, to
errands.
Touch each other, to like let your hair down. Yeah. It's hard to do that over coffee and tea.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, I would rather have an activity-based date, kind of like you were suggesting, because it's, I mean, you can even just do like dinner, but everyone does that. But like, I guess I've been curious if people have been like, oh yeah, let's just grab a drink. Part of me is like, well, that's nice, because then if I don't like you, I'm not committed to a whole dinner with you.
Right.
So I like that part of it. But then I'm also just like, if I get invited on that, I'm like, are you like seriously looking at it? You know what I mean? I'm like, what is that person's suggestion of a date telling me? Like, it tells me their intentions of like, they're just maybe not that interested or... You know what I mean?
It shows
like you
said, lack of creativity to me. And it's like, it's a job interview. You're not trying to have fun. You're trying to grill me. No, we should have already had a little bit of that conversation over the phone before we're actually in this date.
Yeah.
I like life skill dating dates, like chores, like going shopping for groceries or like something like that. Like, how do you
handle... Not for a first date, though. Not like, I mean, like maybe... Okay, Lamont, why don't you let me know? Because I wouldn't say
your chores, like for grocery shopping, but maybe if you're like, hey, you know what? I'm trying to find this bookcase. I need to go to IKEA. Yeah. Would you come with me? Like something like that is okay. But if you got to get the greens and the bleach and the cleaner stuff.
And the Fleet enemas.
Right. The Fleet enemas. And
God. No.
Romance.
So Auntie Kim asks, after you find the person you like and they like you, what are some things you do to bond with each other for longevity?
So the good question, I think there are two things. One is experiences. The other thing is time, right? If you want to bond yourself with someone, it's experiences and time. When I say experiences, you need to, of course, experience, you know, fun moments together, like going to an amusement park, you know, going on a weekend vacation together, romance. You may also need to experience sex to see if you're sexually compatible. Like, these are all the fun things, right?
Yeah.
However, people forget throughout the dating process to include people in, like, the uncomfortable situations, the hard times. So, like, if a friend passes away, take them to the funeral with you. Right. If you get into an argument with a friend, help them experience that with you. Yeah. Right. You have to navigate the good times and the uncomfortable and the challenging times with your partner so that you can see if they are going to leave, if they're going to how they're going to show up for you or not show up for you. I think people focus on the warm and fuzzy fantasy so much that but they forget to say, is this person going to be anchored with me? How can we experience life together? And then also time. You got to give it some time. Some people, whether it's 6 months, 12 months before you make big decisions to say, hey, okay, let's move in together, or we're exclusive, or I want to get engaged. Put some time parameters around that to help.
Okay. So I do want to ask, like, your personal journey, because I see that ring on your finger, and it looks like things have been working out.
This guy back here,
he's big.
Fantastic. So, like, how did you navigate dating earlier on?
Yeah. So how did I? I was very intentional about dating. So I think at one point I was like, I'm in my hot boy summer phase where I'm just in the streets having a good time. And I actually bumped into my husband, who I've known previously. I've known him since I was like 25, 26. Mm-hmm. And he was just an associate. And then I saw him out one night and I kind of looked at him a little different, like, oh, he's kind of cute, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And we hit it off from there, like from going from an associate to actually really he was like a hookup.
Is that what we call him now?
Definitely a hookup that turned into like, let's date.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Cool.
I like associates.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of associates.
Well, I will tell you, and your boyfriend or your husband is probably a friend of a friend. And I know in our community, we're like, oh, you can't date one of my friends of a friend. No, you should, because you all probably are like-minded. You're probably like doing the same things. Mm-hmm. I advise people, literally ask one of your friends to invite you out so you can meet their friends or associates and see who they are.
Yeah. You know, I mean, look, the whole tagline of the podcast is find your circle and your man. And I feel like, you know, through friends is kind of like the mm-hmm. kind of the gateway to like meeting your potential partner.
100%.
Yeah.
So do one of y'all know Ricky Martin?
No, I do not. I
okay.
But we are Puerto Rican.
How many times has he been married?
I'm not talking marriage here. I'm talking associates.
My bad.
Lamont, I have a question for you from a friend of mine, from Manny. He says, we all have insecurities, but sometimes those insecurities, we project them in our relationship through jealousy or any other toxic behavior. How can we control or address these insecurities of ours from a partner in such a way that doesn't affect the relationship or hurt anyone, especially if your partner has a hard time opening up?
Yeah. So we all have insecurities. I'll raise my hand too. Like, if you are a liar and you're delusional if you don't say you're insecure about something, right? Mm-hmm. And that can change over time. Even there's sometimes I'll be out with my husband and maybe a woman, right? A heterosexual woman is flirting with him. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Like, what is this about? And for me, I have to check myself. And I'm like, well, maybe Art and I have not spent enough time together lately. Maybe I've been traveling, or maybe he's been traveling. So I'm missing time and affection. So that's on me, right? That's not that woman's problem. That's not Art's problem. That's me to say, you know what? We need a date night, because apparently I'm missing this quality time. Yeah. But that takes a lot of maturity to realize that and to check yourself constantly. And I think people forget that in a relationship and dating, it is hard work for you to continue to focus on yourself, to make sure that you show up the best way you can. And relationships are not like, oh, it's supposed to be easy. We just have to go with the flow. That is a lie, a trick of the devil. You have like work on yourself continuously.
Absolutely. So I have a question from Natasha, who says, how does a homebody find someone to date outside of the apps?
How?
Get a cat.
Natasha.
I hope that's not my Natasha.
No. So you said you are Natasha. So listen, like, it is really hard for you to find someone if you're sitting at the house and you don't want to use dating apps. It really gives me the mindset about how you're going to show up in a relationship, right? If you want the world to change for you, do you want your relationship to change for you? Dating is hard work. So you literally have to leave the house and go and meet someone. If you don't want to leave the house, then you have to be on the dating apps. You have to be on social media. You have to put yourself out there some way. Other than, like, dating is not like Amazon, like order a man and he shows up at your front door. That just doesn't work like that unless you're using an escort. Like,
yeah. I have a question about, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
People like already in relationships, if your partner is not growing along with you, like they're great everywhere else, but mature level, they're just not seeing the broader picture of like the future. And how would you encourage that for them to do that?
One of the great question, Noel, because one of the hallmarks of long lasting relationships is where you pay attention to your partner, how they grow, how they evolve, how they stay stagnant, so that you can show up for him and he can show up for you. When you stop paying attention of how like your desires might change, are there new fears, new hopes, new dreams, that's when you all, you know, shift apart. So it's okay to do check-ins regularly, like whether that's every 3 months, every 6 months, like, hey, you know, what's on your mind? Like, what are your fears? And I know it sounds very robotic, but it's like true. You need to ask these questions, like, hey, have your desires changed? Do you want to spice something else up? Like, how's your career? Are you still getting satisfaction from that? These are intimate conversations that you have to have in long-term relationships. Yeah. It's like, get rid of the surface stuff at this point. Like, yeah. No, let's talk deep.
I have a personal question, I guess, if it would be for me, because I feel like I go through this pattern of somebody shows a little bit of interest and we try to hang out a little bit, but then it just kind of wanes or they're just not giving me the same energy on the date, or we hang out one time and then it's just like, all right, well, I'm not really into that, or I'm not into what you're, and I'm just curious, like, what is it that causes guys to, like, not stick?
So, one, I would say talk about the elephant in the room, right? Oh, we were all kiki and having fun, romantic, third date, it's a little weird, mm-hmm. right? I'm like, hey, what's going on here? Like, did I do something to offend you? Or if they said something like, oh, I'm a Trump supporter, right? And you're like, oh, okay, tell me about them. Right. You might say, oh, you support Trump? Tell me more about that. Like, mm-hmm. what do you like about his policies, blah, blah, blah. And he might give you some more insight. And you're like, oh, okay, I understand why you do that, yeah. right? Instead of saying, I can't deal with you anymore because you like blah, blah, blah. And people ghost instead of investigating about what's going on. Mm-hmm. And you might see a different side that you can, like, understand, you'd be okay with it. Yeah. Or you might be on two different pages. Like, you might find out that you are no longer compatible. Mm-hmm. And that is okay. That's the point of dating. So yeah. you can find out if you're compatible or not. And then be like, hey, you want monogamy, but I want open relationship. This mm-hmm. is not going to work. We will be friends and move on.
Right.
Yeah. What would you do if, let's say you're on a date, a first date, and whether it's two-sided or just one person is more into it than the other, what do you do if you're on a date and things aren't, like, going well and you want to, like, end the date? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not good at that. I will just suffer through and just be like, thank you, I had a nice time, goodbye. Yeah. Is there a good way to kind of just be like, mid date, be like, hey, this isn't really...
So if is it like they're offending you, or you're just like, I'm not interested, he smells, like, what is it that is making you want to exit, like, stage left?
Well, I'll give a personal anecdote about this one, because I remember meeting up with a guy from online. And I don't know what it is, but, like, sometimes I'll meet up with guys and their face immediately just drops. It's like, oh, you weren't what I imagined in my head based on the pictures and based on that. And I'm putting up, I think, pretty accurate pictures, right? But anyway, you can immediately tell that there's, like, a disconnect or, like, a little bit of a disappointment or something from that first meeting. And, you know, we were going to have dinner at this restaurant, and I kind of told the waiter, it's like, oh, we're just probably just gonna have drinks today, you know.
Oh, you already?
Yeah. But I'm just like, yeah,
no menu.
Yeah, so I would be like, hey, how are you feeling about the date mm-hmm. so far? Like, again, let's talk about the elephants in the room. I'm like, hey, how are you feeling about the date so far? And he can be like, well, you know what, you look a little different from your pictures, or the vibe is a little, like, I'm a little uncomfortable, yeah. or, like, see what's going on. And if you're, like, totally not comfortable, you're not interested in the guy, it's okay to be like, hey, you know what, I think I'm just gonna end the date. It was great meeting you. There's no need, there's no buffer, no chaser. Just be like, hey, you know what, I think I'm just gonna go. I have done that before.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, but I do hear you, and I think what I could do better is investigate more. And have the conversation. I tend to just see that there's some awkwardness, and I'm just like, all right, well, I'm gonna let you have that, and I'm gonna go.
And you know what, I think what pisses people off, or why people say there's piss in the dating pool, is guys will say, I'm gonna end the date because you're not my type, or you need a friend, or they start to put their judgments out there or their viewpoints, instead of just simply saying, you know what, I just want to end the date. I don't think this is a good fit, without shaming the other person.
Yeah.
Because Just because you want a different type of relationship or have different hopes and dreams, it does not make you a bad person. It just means we're not compatible. Right. No shame, no judgment, no you're better, I'm worse. No.
Yeah. I feel like we put a lot of pressure on ourselves in dating. And based on what I'm hearing from you here, it's like we need to take some of the pressure off and just let it be a regular kind of conversation, fun, but also not so intense is what I'm getting as well.
Right. And our society pushes us that we have to have a husband, a partner. So that's a lot of pressure on individuals. Yeah. And I think when people start to become rude or condescending, it typically their insecurities. Yeah. And they're like, oh goodness, my biological clock is ticking and I still haven't found a man. You have no ovaries. It's okay. Take your time and you'll be able to find him.
So my friend Gray is asking, how long when you're dating someone should you announce your exclusive to each other at least?
Wait, what do you mean? When should you say you're exclusive to each other or to like the,
I guess
the world?
Maybe the world or both. Like.
Well, you're saying like how do you both come to a place where you feel like you're exclusive and then say that's what you want to each other?
Correct. Yes.
And then, I guess furthermore, how do you throw it out there to the world?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So people who date typically they're just like, let me go with the flow. I'll figure it out when I think we should be exclusive. No ma'am, no sir, no they. You should literally have targets or milestones or things that you say you want to experience in order for you to be exclusive with people. Mm-hmm. Regardless of who is in front of you, you might need to say, I need to meet your mother. I need to see us argue. I need to say, I love you. You hear these milestones? Mm-hmm. You should have those written down before you say, I want to be exclusive with this person, and not, oh, I'm so infatuated. I'm in love with him, because you can feel the warm and fuzzy in love with him. But guess what? You have not experienced some things and you are not compatible. And you are going to say, we're exclusive, but you're not getting your emotional needs met. You're just getting your sexual needs met, or you're getting this portrayal of a great relationship met. But at the core of it, you're not compatible. So make sure you experience those things before you're exclusive.
That's interesting. I mean, it's really just about like setting your standards.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even necessarily that you have to explicitly state them. Unless it comes up in conversation, but like,
I think it is fine to say those, like, because if you're going on a date with a guy, you need to let him know what the hell he needs to, how he's going to achieve this. Like goal setting. In order for me to be exclusive with someone, I need to know that they're not having sex with anybody else. I need to know that he's financially stable. You need to let him know where the bar is so he knows how to show up. If you don't tell him, how will he know what to do?
You know, I have difficulty with that. Like, I feel like I do a lot of homework and I try to have, but it's like, I try not to place too much of pressure on somebody. And I try, because I know a lot of people have the just go with the flow mindset. And so I'm like, all right, well, let me just go with the flow.
Do you think you have too many requirements?
I don't think I have too many requirements. I like to take steps. I like to take a lot of steps. And I feel like a lot of guys are not necessarily into the step-by-step process, and they want to kind of just like, you know, peace and love.
I think there's a balance. There definitely is the balance, because you're not a robot where you're like, hey, we have to do X, Y, and Z. There are times where it could just, you're just coasting.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, you're dating multiple people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? It is okay to date. I didn't say have sex with everybody, but you're dating multiple people. So you're trying to see like who's the best fit, who makes you feel the most, and who is showing up for you.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be like sequential for some of those things.
Do you have any advice for couples who are looking for other couples who are serious as far as like they want to reach out to go on date nights and like have cookouts and things like that without getting into couples who are probably more open sexually You know, how would you navigate that?
I think it's a great thing where couples might, I call it like your tribe, your community, where there might be other people who are in relationships who support your relationship, because sometimes our single friends want to do single things and you're like, sir, I got a whole man. Like, that is not what we're about. Or they may be so, you know, from like their dating experiences, have a negative viewpoint on relationships, and they may try to feed that into you. So having other people around you who are in relationships, who are breathing life into your relationship, who's supporting it, I think it's great to find another couple or couples group where you all do outdoor activities together, grab drinks and dinner. There is the putting it out there like, hey, we are not looking to play around. We just would like genuine friendship. So I think you have to state that up front and then be consistent with that.
I think we've gotten a great wealth of wisdom, and I'm definitely going to be rewatching and taking notes, because there are definitely some things that I heard here. I'm like, I could do that better. I could, yeah. So I just thank you so much for coming and sharing all of that with us. Is there anything that you would like to leave the audience with, like a nugget of wisdom, or anything that you think a lot of people could use?
Well, one thing I will say, and this is, you know, people have heard this before, I'm always pushing gay men, queer men to be their most authentic selves, right? So figuring out at the core who you are, loving who you are, and making sure that you can show that to the world, because that's attractive. Like, that is dateable. And if you haven't landed on who you are and being comfortable with who you are, you will continuously, like, aimlessly look for love in the wrong places. Mm-hmm. You will find a great partner, and then you will mess that up because you haven't really accepted who you are. So take the time, whether it's through prayer, counseling, therapy, to really make sure you are your most authentic self.
Lamont, why don't you let the audience know where they can find you, all your, you know, your business, your social media, everything.
Sure. So on social media, all of it, The Gay Dating Coach. Okay. And then also I do matchmaking and dating coaching through my business. It is private, it's professional. It is a paid service. My website, it's called betterwaytomeet.com.
Okay. All right. And we're going to put all of those links in the description below. Greg, did you have something to...
I actually thought about something now that we got to the bit where we're like wrapping it up.
Well, go ahead. Shoot. I mean, I'll you can re-edit it in or whatever. Yeah.
So I think one of the... Something that I read or was one of your quotes about, and this kind of like struck me because I've found myself in that position, but something in regard to like when you're dating and dating with intention, like not dating projects when it comes to men. I recently, because I think sometimes people can be doing that and not realize that they're doing it. I very recently, after my past breakup, realized, had this aha moment where I'm like, oh my God, I date guys that need fixing. And I say that loosely because people don't need to be fixed, but like, I very much am like a caretaker. I like showing up for people that way and taking care of people and helping them and getting them to just a really great place.
Yeah.
And I've realized consecutively, like the last three guys that I've dated have all weren't in a place where they needed to be mentally to be dating, but I didn't realize that. And then of course I end up suffering in the end. And then it's later they kind of do the work and get their shit together.
I will say I kind of have a similar thing where it's just like you see a space for you to operate in their life, and I feel like that is what is not necessarily the most attractive thing, but I mean it, like, it helps you to feel like, okay, you're needed.
Yeah, absolutely. In some way. So I guess you have to know to be able to just dodge that situation, but what are some tips to maybe look for a person who is like maybe needs that somebody to take care of them, and then versus somebody that like literally just hasn't done the work, doesn't have their shit together, and you're not going to do anything to change or fix them.
Right. And you know, we all have big hearts and we like to support people. I think there's a difference between being supportive in a relationship and then actually, you know, building a man, like fixing a man. And you can be supportive, like if he's like, hey, you know, I finished my resume, I'm looking for a job. Do you mind just taking a look at my resume to spell check? That's support, right? Fixing a man is actually applying for jobs for him, right? There's a difference, right? Introducing him to like a networking event, that's support. I'm putting his clothes on and walking him, dropping him off to the get the job. That you are fixing the man. And there's nothing more unattractive, unattractive than a man who can't be self-sufficient. So it is okay for you to give him space, time to say, you know what? There are some areas that you need to work on. Once you get all that together, come on, let's date. Let come back. Because what's going to happen is you are going to resent him and you're going to feel like you're being used. Yeah. But you decided to stay in that relationship and fix him instead of saying, be a man, experience life on your own.
Right. Work. And that's why I tried to make sure I use the word fit. Like, I'm not looking for a project. I'm not looking to build a boyfriend, but I have been in overly supportive situations where it just wasn't reciprocal. Yeah. So I at least know how to, like, I'm not looking to fix a man.
Yeah. I got you.
If he needs fixing, he's not for me.
I hear you. No. Even emotionally, like, there are some guys, it's like, hey, you need to go to counseling.
That's what it is.
Like, why don't you experience counseling for 6 months and then come on back. But right now, it's not going to work.
I won't pay for it, though.
And I'm not going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. Thank you.
Get that clear.
Right. All right, Lamont, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. And I want to thank all of our viewers for watching. And remember, if you have no one else, you got us.